We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just saving the world one soundbite at a time. I'm over here trying to tweet at some liberals that are trolling me on my Twitter feed, and I look over, I go, are we back on? Yeah. yeah, by the way, if you want to follow me on Twitter or join in the fun right now, I've got some typical liberal troll haters that are still trying to get over the fact that we had the thing about Space Camp yesterday. My Twitter feed is at Sen, that's S-E-N, at Sen Phil Williams, it's a little lively right now on the tags, so jump on in where you can and hang on. All right, listen, we got plenty to do for the day, and the phone lines, text lines are open, 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. Raven from Russellville just texted in, by the way, and said, my high school principal was a World War II Marine Corps gunny sergeant in the Pacific. We had zero problems at school. If we got in trouble at school, we were automatically in trouble at home. Good times. And that's, by the way, that's just, you know, as it should be. It's not like we're talking about anything, you know, in some way creating abuse. It's called discipline. And there was nothing about that generation that was just wrong because you had discipline at school. In fact, if you look back at society, things were a little better off in many ways because there was discipline. And it's not like they were overly harsh to your kids, because parents had every bit of a right to walk down to the school and say, I want to talk to the principal about what's happened. That would be okay. That'd be expected. But you also didn't have this, you know, hands-off, can't touch little Johnny. And I mean, like, not necessarily touch, but like, you can't even discipline little Johnny. No timeouts. Don't you dare call my son out. Don't you dare penalize him. In the age of helicopter parents and, you know, woke agendas, school has gotten decidedly undisciplined. There's an awful story, by the way. Some of y'all may have seen it. I saw it on social media, and I mean, and by the way, I don't have a weak stomach about stuff at all. And so this is not a weak stomach moment, but I couldn't watch it. I couldn't finish watching it. It was a video of two girls. One was and I don't know that race played in. I don't know that it did or not. I'm giving you the description of what I'm looking at, though. One was a fairly small, looked like she was about 12 or 13-year-old white girl, and another was a black girl who was like a head taller or more, and looked like she weighed about 30 pounds more than the other girl. And I don't know what transpired, but they got into it on the sidewalk, and the littler girl chose to you know, stare her down, and the beating commenced. And it was not a fight. It was a beating, and it was awful. And then, you know, it got to the point that the girl was left unconscious on the sidewalk after she had her head banged in the sidewalk, deliberately, like slammed in the sidewalk over and over and over again, like the girl was trying to kill her. And the assailant has now been arrested. Good for that. But I read this morning that the school where this happened, and I think it's Evanston, Illinois, but the school where this happened has been teaching critical race theory, teaching white privilege, teaching, transgenderism and the use of pronouns, basically creating an environment where everything is gray. And when everything is gray, when there is no black and white, there are no absolutes, when everything is gray, kids will fill the void with what they believe to be right. That's what happens. In the absence of truth, people will create their own truth. And so you've got a situation now where a school has set itself up as the arbiter of all that is good and then establishes thereafter that nothing is good, therefore follow your own truth. And oh, by the way, if your skin color, you know, is what it is, you are either offensive or offended just because of your skin color. Listen, we're supposed to be past that, right? This is supposed to be the era in which we have gotten past that. Martin Luther King did not die so that we could teach critical race theory. And there's going to be somebody out there who's going to take issue with the fact that I dared to invoke his name. I dare to invoke his name. How about that? Martin Luther King is probably rolling over in his grave right now at the way people who use his name then abuse his name to then take things in the opposite direction of what he ever intended. Whatever happened to, I have a dream that, you know, My four little girls, he said, will grow up in a world where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. Where is that world? Well, that world, by the way, that world exists. It's still there. It's real. But liberal progressives have decided, and I don't know if it's a spiritual battle, if it's an emotional battle, if it's a power or control battle, or maybe all of the above. But I do know this. Liberal progressives are determined that race has to be the issue. And by doing that, they have just destroyed the things that Martin Luther King stood for. And on that note, let's take a break. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one right here, Alabama. Y'all, I'm talking about this show. Goes way down south of Birmingham and up north of Huntsville and Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi thrown in, just for good measure. All right, we're gonna kick off the first dipper. I will say I got a couple of text messages. Yesterday they ran away from me. I mean, the text messages were so prolific, I got to keep up today. John from Huntsville said, Phil, you just earned extra credit points for that awesome mini rant. Thank you. He says the Democrats are basically painting Joe Biden out to be, and I don't know what he's trying to say because it trailed off. But thank you. Steve from Tennessee says, your best monologue ever. Our most valuable book is the Bible. The next most valuable book is the dictionary from 1960. Words matter. Steve from Tennessee. Thank you, Steve. Appreciate you, man. Call in sometime, man. All right, listen. The very first dipper has been sitting on my desk now for a couple of days. Haven't been able to get to it. Too good to let it go. I talk about on the show all the time that if we don't have citizens willing to push back on bad government, if we don't have citizens willing to speak up when they see things wrong, if we don't have good people willing to support others or support themselves, for that matter, to run for office at any level, then the liberals are going to win by default. Can't do it. Can't do it. Can't do it. Don't let it happen. Now, that being said, there's a whole lot of stuff out there to push back on. I don't know if it's true, but my sense is it's a target-rich environment. There is more stuff to push back on now than perhaps I have ever seen. I imagine every generation has said that. Does that make me the old guy? Get off my grass! I mean, I don't think I'm doing that. I mean, I can see it. I can study history. I know there have been social upheavals. I know the 60s. Look at the 60s. The 60s was a period of social upheaval. Certainly it was. Earlier in the 60s, not just the hippies and the Vietnam War protests, but, you know, earlier in the 60s and really in the 50s into the 60s, it was the modern civil rights era. You know, the march across the Edmund Pettus Bridge, the Freedom Riders. Those were social upheavals. There were things that happened in the 70s. There was the Carter era. All of it. I can picture periods of social upheaval. I don't know that I've ever seen as much in my lifetime or in my study of my lifetime and others that looks like what I'm seeing now.
I don't think you're crazy, Phil. I think most of the world probably is on the same page.
Thank you, Big Rick.
Me as well.
Actually, you know what, though? I'd love to be wrong on that one.
Yeah.
But thank you very much.
Yeah.
But yeah, I wish I was wrong. I wish this was not a big period. I wish that people could say, Phil, it's actually not that bad. Oh, really? Oh, good. Thank you. But I don't think anybody can knock me off that position right now.
Yeah.
So anyway, that being said, there's a whole lot of what I would call jackassery out there. Your timing was impeccable, my friend. The words "yeah" was coming out of my mouth, and you were already hitting the button. Yeah, jackassery is my euphemistic title for stupid stuff we see happen in government. What I love, though, is when I start seeing good people fighting back against jackassery, and it's real. And that's what this whole dipper's about. Good people fighting back against actual jackassery. Like, let's take some examples. By the way, I've got a series of stories here And they're from different places around the country. But it's kind of funny because I'm looking at them. Okay, that one happened on March 6th. The story was printed on March 6th. That story was printed on March 6th. Oh, that story was also printed on March 6th. Oh, here's one for March 5th. Okay. March 5th was this one. I don't know what happened on March 5th and 6th. But by golly, it was a banner day for pushing back against jackassery. So let me just walk you through a few of these, because this is fun. This is good. All right, San Francisco. I will be honest, I've never been there, always wanted to. I don't want to right now. But I had always wanted to go to San Francisco. You see pictures of the city by the bay, you know, the Golden Gate Bridge, the beautiful hills, and you know, just, you know, and then if you're a movie buff like me, you watch that chase scene in Bullet, you know, where they're running that 68 Mustang, you know, through the hills of San Francisco and out beyond. And I was like, man, I got to visit this place one day. I used to live in California when I was younger. I lived in California in Orange County in Laguna for a period of time. Never made it to San Francisco. I don't want to go there right now. It's a friggin' cesspool. San Francisco's got problems. Businesses are closing down left and right and bailing on the city. You can look up this if you want to. Just go look it up. Just type in your search engine, San Francisco Death Spiral. San Francisco Death Spiral. You will find article after article that says that economic development experts are saying that San Francisco itself as a city is in a death spiral right now. Because liberal policies have now caused so much of a progressive wave that the onset of crime, the pandemic, the businesses that are bailing out of downtown, combined with the high tax burdens that are created there, San Francisco is dying. And we need to bring it back. Well, guess what? Story here from the Free Beacon. San Francisco residents this past Tuesday voted to let police conduct more vehicle chases and deploy drones and surveillance cameras to fight crime. Let me pick out two words. Three. Okay, four words. I'll pick out four. Four words from that first sentence. Voted to fight crime. Can you imagine having to go to the polls, not for like stiffer penalties, but actually voting to allow your police to fight crime? That's where they are in San Francisco. But by golly, the people showed up at the polls by a vote of 20-point margin. The people of San Francisco spoke. They went to the polls on a police initiative. They approved it with a 20-point win to please give law enforcement more leeway, giving them the chance to chase down suspects that are fleeing in vehicles. Right now, believe it or not, police officers in San Francisco are banned from chasing thieves and can only go after those who they believe have committed a violent felony. So if you robbed a store at gunpoint and shot somebody, they can chase you. But if you robbed a store at gunpoint and got away, they can't chase you. That makes no sense, because guess what the person who didn't shoot somebody that day is going to do the next day? They're going to shoot somebody later. Get them off the streets while you have a chance. Broken windows theory. Don't let the small crimes go by. If kids are throwing rocks through windows, stop it, because the same kids that throw rocks through windows are later on going to be the kids who do bigger crimes because no one stopped them when they were little. The voters of San Francisco pushed back against some jackassery. There were two things on the ballot, though. How about this one? By a measure that passed with 26-point margin. 26 points. Y'all, that's like Donald Trump numbers. You can't win anything with 26 points. By 26 points, they passed a measure in San Francisco, the voters did, that would require poor and homeless adults under the age of 65 who do not have any children to be tested for drug use, and if they don't pass their drug screen, they are no longer allowed to receive free cash payments and housing assistance. Okay. All right, first of all, the fact that they're just doling out cash to drug addicts on the streets of San Francisco is part of the problem. And the people have seen through it. Keep in mind, the people that live in San Francisco are the same ones that voted these yahoos into office. The jackassery you're seeing is not just a result of who's in office. It's a result of the people who voted them into office. And yes, votes matter. And guess what? The people have seen through it, and they're like, stop the madness. They're pushing back against the jackassery in San Francisco, and I'll tell you right now, we need them too, because that city's a jewel, and we need it back. America wants its San Francisco back. Okay, let's see what I got here. Let me just. What are they doing in Tennessee? Tennessee, right north of us. Tennessee, don't let them get ahead of us. Come on, Tennessee. I love Tennessee. It's like a run and gun battle right now between Tennessee, Alabama, and Florida to see who can do the most conservative legislation. Now, granted, I think Alabama's losing in some of those, but Florida is usually out front. Alabama tends to follow Tennessee. We beat them on a few things. But there's a bill right now in the Tennessee legislature today going through the Tennessee legislative process. This story from the Daily Wire on March 6th. You heard all about ESG, right? Environmental, social, and governance. Have you heard about ESG banking? It's not just corporate welfare. I mean, corporate boardrooms that are making decisions that drive their shareholders crazy because they're willing to sacrifice profits to make sure they make an environmental statement or a statement about critical race theory or a statement about supporting transgender rights or Dylan Mulvaney on a friggin' beer can or something. They're losing profits left and right. But have you heard about ESG banking and what that does to companies? We're going to take a break right now. When I get back from this, we're in number one of the Triple Dipper, pushing back and fighting against jackassery. Yeah, and I'll tell you what happens in Tennessee if they pass this bill. Fighting jackassery, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Yeah, making common sense like a superpower. Hey, by the way, a minute ago I just said, you know, I lived in California for a period of time, how much I always wanted to see San Francisco. And I mentioned that I lived in an area called Laguna, right up the road from Huntington Beach. There's a story that just came out in the last few hours. The city of Huntington Beach just voted to ban all non-government flags from city buildings. You know what that means? The rainbow flag. Libs of TikTok has a story right now, along with the mayor, whose name is Gracie Vanderburk, and she's holding on. She is not letting it go. The city of Huntington Beach, California, says just voted to ban all non-government flags from city buildings. LGBTQ activists are losing their minds, claiming it will harm LGBTQ people in some way. The mayor is standing firm, though, and says we should fly flags that represent everyone. Good for the mayor and the council of Huntington Beach. You know what that is? That's called pushing back against jackassery. Hit me some of that jackassery, man. Just you go, Huntington Beach. That's a beautiful area, by the way. That's like, Huntington Beach is like, you know, being the mayor of Orange Beach. I mean, that's just, I'm sure there are, you know, day-to-day problems running a city. But dang, what a beautiful place to be in charge of. All right, I mentioned before the break, ESG banking. So here's the thing. The jackassery that we have seen being allowed in our financial systems, in our corporate boardrooms, has also bled over into insurance and banking. It's horrible. Environmental social governance. It's the virtue signaling posturing of the corporate boardrooms to try and make sure that everybody understands. We're not just about our widgets. We do more than just have goods and services. We really care about the environment. Okay, why does that make me want to buy your soda? Why do I want to watch your movie? Oh, so you can virtue signal to me when all I really wanted to do was have my kids entertained by a cartoon movie. Thank you, Disney. Oh, Disney is now going to involve itself in what kind of curriculums we have in schools in the state of Florida. Awesome. No, not really. Or how about this? Woke agendas that turn off half or more of your base. Why would you do that? Do you begin to lose profit share? Yep, you really do. Go woke, go broke. And I used the example of Dylan Mulvaney a while ago. Look at Bud Light. Bud Light has fallen by the wayside. I mean, Bud Light has tanked. You can't give away Bud Light for a while there, and even now, it's not selling well. They have yet to reclaim their status as being the number one beer in America. Why? Because they chose to get away from their mission. Well, all right, so ESG in the corporate boardroom and ESG in all aspects of corporate America has bled over into insurance and banking. Insurance companies are canceling policies, and banks are refusing to do business loans or otherwise, with companies they deem to be offensive in some way. A bill right now in the Tennessee State Legislature, a story on Daily Wire that came out last week, would prevent banks from discriminating against people based on their political or religious views advanced in the State House on Tuesday amid national concerns that financial institutions are targeting conservatives. They are. I mean, there's several examples in here. Like, for instance, a guy named Chris Lee, who is with the National Shooting Sports Foundation, he testified before the Senate committee in Tennessee that Citigroup, decided it didn't like guns. And so in 2018, Citigroup refused to work with anybody who had sold guns to people under the age of 21, which is like any gun store, or sold high-capacity magazines or bump stocks. In other words, Citigroup decided what was offensive to them in the world of guns, regardless of the Second Amendment, and as a private entity, they decided to make public policy. And they decided to begin refusing people to do business with them. The Tennessee State Legislature is saying, a guy named Representative Jason Zachary says, the trend of freezing bank accounts based upon religious or political beliefs is deeply worrying to me. We will put a stop to this dangerous practice in Tennessee because having to self-police speech for fear of being denied financial services is not representative of our state's values. And I would agree with that on a national scale. And I hope that the Alabama legislature sees this and goes, man, that works for me. Let's do it here. That's called fighting back against jackassery. That's an elected official right there who's seeing something and saying, you know what? Stop that madness. Not my people. We need a break from that. And that's what we got to do more of. How about this one? Oh, my. Let's see. Which one do I want? I've got one from The Blaze. I got one from The Federalist. I got one from The Washington Examiner. I'm going with this one. All right. From TheBlaze.com. Federal court rules that the Biden administration cannot force Christian businesses to pay for employee sex changes. Why are we having to argue about this? I mean, this is like the space camp thing on steroids. So what?
I was just going to mention Barry from Fulton. I don't know if you read this one already, but he said Alabama.com had the whole space camp show presented on Right Side Radio yesterday. That was the only place that they can find anything about space camp employees and the woke ideology that they were promoting.
On what? AL.com?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they actually kind of misrepresented that. I saw that article.
Oh, they did?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It was all about, it wasn't anything about the kids. It wasn't anything about the parents.
Oh, so this is not a good thing.
It was all about the security and the well-being of the trans individual who feels like they've been just denied the opportunity to live.
So they weren't worried about the kids?
No.
No.
Not okay. At all. But yeah, a federal judge ruled that the Biden administration cannot force Christian businesses to pay for employee sex changes. This was from the district court, the District of North Dakota. Now, here's the thing. A federal district court, I've heard it said, and I remember when I was a young attorney, I had an older attorney tell me that the most powerful person in the world is a federal district court judge. What? Yeah. Because a federal district court judge is the only person that can tell the president of the United States what to do. Everything above that person is just an appeal of what he or she did. So when the federal district court judge, which is the lower level of the federal judges, makes a decision, he's the one that weighs the evidence and makes a decision. And then the appellate courts above him, they simply review what he or she did at the lower level. And so you've also got the fact, though, that when a federal district court judge rules in one part of the country, depending upon how the order is rendered, it can have application across the entire nation. And that's what just happened. In June of 2020, the U.S. Supreme Court issued a decision called Bostock v. Clayton County that expanded prohibitions against sex discrimination. Okay, there's that. But then under President Joe Biden, oh boy, the U.S. Equal Employment Opportunity Commission and the U.S. Department of Health and Services, you know, the one that has the transgender guy that wears the dress and uniform. Awesome. Subsequently interpreted that ruling to require employer health insurance plans to cover elective sex change procedures. And they're saying this is a religious accommodation issue. And the court agreed. And the court said, you know what? Ain't going to happen. And put a permanent injunction upon it pending the outcome of the case. That's called fighting jackassery. I got a little more on this. You guys stay tuned. We will be right back. Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, welcome to hour number two. I'm not sure where hour number one went. It just flew by. Taco Tuesday. I guess I got my sights set on tacos for dinner. I'm in this first section here called Fighting Jackassery. Just got a text, by the way, from my good friend Becky Gerritsen, who is the head of the Eagle Forum in Alabama. And she said that bill that I was talking about a minute ago in the Tennessee legislature, there is one being drafted right now to run in Alabama. Of course, they're getting low on time. That's the problem. This late in the session, we're over halfway through the session now, I believe. So getting that thing through with gambling taking up all the time is going to be hard. But that's a good legislation. I hope they do. I hope Becky calls in. Yeah, watch the phones there, Big Rig, because I don't know. She might call in a minute. I just said, go ahead and call in and tell about it. But I don't know if she's in the middle of something, but it's still nice to hear she listens to the show. But I am still talking about Fighting Jackassery. So let me put a lid on this section with a few more of these stories. So how about this? Wouldn't you like to know that when someone casts their votes, that they were allowed to? That just makes sense to me. I don't know. I mean, God forbid I should apply common sense to government. But I'm just saying, wouldn't you like to know that if someone casts their votes, that they were qualified to do so legally, and that they also weren't dead? It's amazing how many dead people vote. Isn't that crazy? Funny how that works. Little town of Union City, Alabama. How many times have I said this story on the show before? Just about 10 years ago, they had a real problem when like 112% of the town voted in a city election. 112%! Pray tell, how's that happen? Well, apparently absentee ballots at the graveyard were a big thing. But the story I got right here from the Federalist. The New York Times is very uncomfortable with citizen oversight of elections. Oh, Lord. So here's the thing. In Alabama, we have made it a point to really clean up the voter rolls. Now, what does that mean? We're not purging people who shouldn't be purged. What we're doing is they've set up systems now. It was Secretary of State John Merrill who really initiated the process, and right now it's Secretary of State Wes Allen, both doing an amazing job at having clean voter rolls. What does that mean? Well, they look for things like, okay, we match with other databases that we know about, like Medicaid or Medicare or the state voter rolls from other states, and they may find, oh, wait a minute, we have 200 citizens that moved to Georgia. They're no longer here in Alabama. They can't vote. Or the death certificates issued by the state Department of Health and Services, or DHR, Department of Health and Human Resources. Yeah, the health department, they actually have a voter list or a list of who died. They compare that to the voter list. So anyway, the New York Times is worried about this. They say Democrat-led cities deserve higher scrutiny from informed citizens of the way it feels when it comes to elections. Those areas just get picked on. No, not really. But Democrat-run areas seem to be the ones that could care less about having a clean voter roll. So right now, you've got groups that are out there working to make sure that voter registration rolls are not going to be leading to fraud at the elections, not going to be leading to sloppy election administration. And the New York Times is taking issue with this. Like, for instance, example here in the story. It took a court to force the county officials to do their jobs in Los Angeles County most recently. It took a nudge by their citizens who were concerned about election integrity. But the Los Angeles County wasn't the only place, though. I mean, they had to do a lot of cleanup in Los Angeles County. But then you got like Maine. Maine Secretary of State Shana Bellows, by the way. Shana Bellows is the one who recently tried to take Trump off the ballot. She fought tooth and nail to prevent a good government group from inspecting her state voter rolls, but a recent federal court judge, appointed by Biden, actually, Judge Gustavo Gelpi, ruled that the Secretary of State had to allow people to look at it because they said you cannot hide a voter roll. And you've got things like an audit recently about the 2020 elections in Michigan, the infamous 2020 election. Found that there were 1,600 votes that were cast by voters who had died. How's that happen? It's called fraud. Michigan's Democrat Secretary of State Jocelyn Benson refused to remove ineligible or dead voters from the state rolls, and there were found to be 26,000 deceased registrants on the rolls, but she refused to take them off. Why? Why would you not? We might be denying someone the right to vote. You might be denying a dead person the right to vote. Not a problem. But I'm glad to see citizen groups are pushing back against Jack Ashery, because that is a big deal, election integrity. One more. Just one. That's all I can stand. Fighting Jack Ashery. Let's see. Is that one? Not that one. Where's the other one? Not that one. No, not that one. Not that one either. I know I've got one more. Where'd it go? Here it is. Ah! Papers flying everywhere in here. Washington Examiner. Dateline, once again, last week. Californians cast their ballots in November 2020 on perhaps the most watched state initiative in America that year, called Proposition 16. So Prop 16 did away with some, you know, civil rights act of Prop 209 from 1996. And it had language in it that the citizens of the state overwhelmingly voted down by a vote of 56 to 44. That's an overwhelming number. By a 12% margin, the citizens voted it down, saying they did not want the governor to have the ability to grant preferential treatment in hiring on based upon things like color, ethnicity, national origin, none of it. Because what they knew would happen is a Gavin Newsom or somebody like that would begin to abuse the process. Well, you know, don't want the people to speak. Good Lord, can't have that. So the state assembly recently came back with a bill that would then allow the governor to issue waivers. What does that mean? Issue waivers to permit state funding for programs designed to, quote, benefit specific groups based upon their race, color, ethnicity, national origin, or marginalized genders, sexes, or sexual orientations. What does that mean? LGBTQ groups will get preferential hiring. LGBTQ groups or, Black Lives Matter or, you know, who knows, will be getting preferential treatment for state contracts. Well, it's caught the attention of the citizens, and they're saying, no, not going to happen on our watch. There's a petition that's been triggered by this whole Prop 209 issue, and the people of California are urging their state legislature not to pass that bill. And they point out that this is going right smack in the face, like I said earlier, of what Martin Luther King stood for. Equality and equity are not the same thing. And citizens have to look at that, and they have to fight that jackassery every single day. When you see it, say it. Fight jackassery every single day. All right, listen, I'm just telling you, that's good stuff right there. And I got a few text messages I'll take for the break. Ken from Ramlap says, America doesn't have enough patriots. Where have they gone? They're out there, brother. They are. I really believe that. They are. And I think true patriots don't rush to arms, but they are ready to stand when they have to. And I think we're there. Dustin from Hillsborough says, regards to the mayor of, the mayor of Huntington Beach, says, stay strong, mayor, otherwise you'll be known for raising a white flag. Woo! John from Huntsville says, Phil, did you see Joe Biden apologize for calling an illegal immigrant illegal? And that illegal immigrant had murdered a young woman? Now that's jackassery. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir, it is. And then Jeff from Indiana says, hey, Phil, I don't know why you see a problem with dead Democrats voting. The president's brain dead. What would be the difference? All right, take it to a break, brother. We'll do that break right now. We'll come right back. We'll close out a little bit and head down to the bottom of the hour. Hannah Stevens calling in, going to talk about some right sports. You guys stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just making it cool to be a conservative. Hey, by the way, I got to give you guys a brief update. So yesterday we spent a great deal of time on the story of what happened at Space Camp, what is still happening at Space Camp. So a couple of things have occurred. First of all, I say several things have occurred. So yesterday we were among those who broke the story, right? A gentleman named Clay Yarbrough, who actually came on the show yesterday at 3 o'clock, he's now been reposted like over a million times on his Facebook post. It has made national news. But we started off with just him posting on his Facebook page. Think about this. Just him posting on his Facebook page that he was bothered by the fact that he had to do his own investigation to find out that transgender, you know, men posing as women are working in the little girls' dorms and changing areas at Alabama's space camp, which is at the Huntsville Space and Rocket Center. And that's just, that's like next layer of wrong right there. And don't tell me, by the way, that the Space and Rocket Center didn't have any idea how controversial that would be. They were willfully taking it on as a thing that we will just allow and not even bothering to tell the parents who pay a great deal of money to send their kids there, but who, oh, by the way, regardless of the monetary aspect of it, love their kids and want their kids to be secure. And some parents were shocked and outraged, one of which is our friend Clay Yarbrough, who called into the show. Well, what we have now learned is since then, the first of all, I think just about every member of the Republican side of Alabama's U.S. delegation issued statements. I've seen statements now from Tuberville, Gary Palmer, Robert Adderholt, Dale Strong, Mike Rogers. They're all chiming in saying, unacceptable. Fix this. This is not going to work. The Space and Rocket Center did not issue a statement until late in the day, but only after they had made a policy change and began to allow adult parent chaperones to stay overnight. Because before, it was just you drop your kid off at the door, hug them, and, you know, we'll see you next week. No, not now. Not after all this, because they had parents that were pulling their kids out. Like, literally, I'm coming to get my daughter. I'm coming to get my son. They're not staying there. This is not going to happen. No, it's not going to happen. And don't think for a second, by the way, this was just, this is, well, if you read AL.com, such tripe. If you read AL.com or Alabama Political Reporter, the two websites that are the most liberal in the state, who I think they just hate Alabama. Their position is, this is all just denying a trans woman's right to live. How about you care about the kids first? Please, can we do that? How about recognizing parents have a say in this too? Can we do that? Don't pretend. Don't pretend you didn't know. Well, so first of all, here's the first thing that happened. Everybody in our delegation got busy. State officials have gotten busy. A policy change appears to have been put in place by the Space and Rocket Center. And this all happens, by the way, every bit of it. All of it started with one dad posting on his Facebook page and a bunch of people seeing it and deciding to repost it. I am seeing now comments where people who are reposting it are getting attacked by liberals. I've got it right now on my Twitter feed. I've got liberals just all over me, you know, saying, you know, how awful this is, and all we're doing is trying to harm someone, and we're gonna deny their ability to live freely and be themselves, and, you know, and then other profanity I can't say on the air. By the way, join the fun. Come to my Twitter page, at Sen Phil Williams, S-E-N Phil Williams, at Sen Phil Williams. All these things are happening because of one dad. That's just cool. Don't think you can't make a difference. I realize not everything is going to go viral, but this one did. With one dad, just a dude in North Alabama, who decided, you know what, by God, not on my watch. And he posted on his Facebook page, made the world aware of what he now knew, and here we are. The next thing for y'all to think about is, keep in mind, I just had one of my liberal trolls on Twitter try to take issue with the fact that, Space Camp does what it does, you know, isn't, you can't just boss them around and pass legislation because you think that, how about this? They're a state-run organization. Crickets. You have some cricket sounds over there? I thought you did, man. Anyway, I think you do. Thank you. State-run organization. Yeah. I knew you did. You got all the sound effects.
I didn't know about that. We've never used that one, so I didn't know it was there. Well,
you just added one to your repertoire. Okay. but here's the thing. The next thing I think needs to be looked at, and I'm going to encourage you guys to look at this. I believe the governing organization by name that receives like several million dollars in appropriations from Montgomery and local tax dollars every year It's called the Alabama Space Science Exhibit Commission. It's a commission. There are quasi-governmental organizations that are set up. There are commissions and boards, right? Commissions and boards. And you can think of like your local water board. It's quasi-governmental. You can think of, you know, your school board. It is purely governmental, but it's called a board. You can think of other things that are called commissions or whatever. Anyway, this is one. And the Alabama Space Science Exhibit Commission is the one that, by their own admission and on their website, oversees the Space and Rocket Center and the Space Camp. They are the governing body. They are the board of trustees. They are the ones who, by the way, I got to go back and look at how they were established, but I believe that they are all members who are appointed by state and local officials, like the governor, the pro tem of the Senate, the speaker of the House, perhaps local officials because it's in Huntsville. And they are there. Some of them are actually legislative members. They need to start getting some phone calls. It's beyond calling the director of the Space Center. Now it's time to start calling the members of that board and saying, what are you going to do? Why should you get more tax dollars? You're a state organization and you appear to be flying in contravention of state law. What are you going to do? I know a few of them on there are a little bit liberal, but I know a lot of them on there are not. They're conservatives. I know it because I know a few of them. And I'm just telling you right now, look at that list. It's on the website. Look at that list and reach out and find out why this is happening on their watch, because allegedly they're in charge. Allegedly, the supervisor, the director of the entire Space and Rocket Center answers to them. And if they don't get their act together, they may very well wind up losing their state appropriation, millions of dollars. Do their job. Do their job. Do their job. A couple of text messages real quick. David from Athens says, my answer to liberals, they have a right to life, but not at the expense of my child. There you go. Ron from Tuscumbia says, that's a let's roll moment. Yeah, brother. Yeah, it is. Coming up next, going to do a little right sports with our friend Hannah Stevens. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.